Amen. Can you guys give a hand to the band and thank them for being up here? Especially Pastor Richard for taking his time to be over here with us. Thanks, man. We love you. Can't tell you how many times just this week I've been in this man's office and he's been reading me scripture and praying with me. So what he's saying up here, he lives. So I want you to know that about him. Hey, so I got a present. I have a gift tonight I want to give to somebody. Does anybody want this present tonight?
I do.
Logan really wants the present. I saw a hand. I can't tell who it is. But the first hand I saw was back with the white mask. Who is that you, Peyton?
Yeah.
All right, bro, your hand was up first. So come on up here. I got a present for you if you want this thing. There's a really nice fancy present and a nice fancy bag. Some nice paper, nice bow. This is for you. It's free. You don't have to pay me for this, all right? It's just because I felt like doing this for you. I got you something really nice, all right? So go ahead and open it. Whatever's in there, you get to keep. You can take it home. Enjoy it. Use it. Love it. You're going to have to open that too. Yeah, it's in a fancy box. This old bow. Yeah, what's in that thing, man? What's in there? Show everybody. All right, yeah. Oh, it's not camera parts, even though that's what the box is.
Is there any? Oh, it's the best present
is it,
ever.
What is it? Show them what it is.
Nothing.
It's air. It's oxygen. It's that's rich, fresh oxygen. You can breathe. Breathe it. Through your mask. I should have my mask on. Sorry. All right, good. I need that back. But yeah, so you get to take the oxygen with you, though. Take it and breathe it. Put it in your lungs. Have it. Enjoy it. Wait, Peyton, you don't like my gift, bro?
Oh, man. I like it. It keeps me alive.
It keeps you alive, right? Like, it's a good gift. What's not great about that gift?
You can get air anywhere.
Oh, okay. It's too common of a gift now? I'm sorry. My bad, all right? Like, it's too accessible for everyone. I got to give it to you. That's kind of true. Like, it's very accessible. Everybody can already have that. I guess I didn't necessarily have to get you that gift. But what if you were a scuba diver who was trapped underwater and your air just ran out and I came up and I gave you that fresh oxygen? Would you look at it differently? Or what if you were out hiking and there was an avalanche and you got trapped under the snow and couldn't breathe and I came up and I handed you that bag and there's fresh oxygen? Would you like my gift? Why? What's the difference?
Because
now it's not as common. Right now I'm not taking for granted the fact that it's all around me, but it's actually this really precious gift that every one of us needs every second, right? Because right now you guys probably breathe like, well, I don't do math and stuff. I'm going to guess 40 times in the last couple minutes I've been talking. Right? We're all doing it right now. You're taking a breath and it's precious. And if I took it away from you, then you'd be like, whoa, whoa, that is like a really good gift. I need some oxygen, man. Give me some. You would notice how badly you needed it if you didn't have it. Right? But when we have it so much and it's so like just accessible to us, we take it for granted and we don't realize how precious that gift is. And tonight we've been walking through a series, right, called Called Out to Join In. And we're talking about how God has this awesome plan for each of us. And as we accept Jesus and we obey him and we're baptized, that's kind of the first step of the plan is obedience to Christ. To accept him as our Savior and to be baptized and express that through baptism. And now tonight we're looking at this kind of next part of the plan. As you're baptized, what happens? What's this next thing that occurs in God's plan for each of us? And so tonight, if you guys will open with me, we're going to look in a passage tonight in Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. I'm going to read a few verses there together. And as you guys find that, you know, here's the question we're going to ask. Because we said that we've been called out. The Lord has called us out of something, and he's called us out to join into something. He's not just saying, hey, leave everything and then just sit there. He's saying, leave everything so that you can be a part of something super awesome. So what is it that we're joining into? That's the question tonight, and I'm going to answer it for you. Ready? The church. The church. This thing that we tend to take for granted. It's so accessible. There are tons of churches just in this community. If you Googled it on your phone, you'd have all little like red thumbnails sticking up all through your map telling you where all the different churches are. And we take them for granted. We take the fact that we can come here on Wednesday night and shout out to everybody on live stream tonight. I promised a few of you I'd say hi. So hi, there it is. But like we even have live streams. So if you can't come to this place, you can even see it that way. It's accessible. It's everywhere. And sometimes we take this beautiful thing, this precious gift that God gave us called the church for granted. And it's almost like breathing air. Like we need the church. God designed it and gave it to us so every day we can be interacting with his people and surrounded by followers of Jesus to lift each other up. It's like oxygen for us. And instead of taking it for granted, we need to realize how precious that gift is that God's given us of this thing called the church. But many of us ask these questions, and I want us to kind of look tonight at some of these questions. First of all, like, why not watch online? Like, we've been doing that a lot. That's become almost this common thing. How come we ever come back to church? Why don't we just stay at home and just begin an online thing and just never come to church in person? Like, there are people that now I hear say that. That's kind of a thing. Or how about this question? Why be a member of a church? Like, what is the point of membership? Is that like an old person thing where you get like this cool jacket or something? Like, what is membership? And why shouldn't I just sit at home with my Bible? Just me and God, just talking, just reading the word. Isn't that enough for me just to like study with God, grow with him with my Bible? Or how about this question? Why not just hop around? I mean, there's lots of churches. I just said it, right? So why not just visit here and the next week go there and just jump from church to church? Or maybe if I'm upset with this church, I just go somewhere else. Just pick another one. There's plenty in the area. Why not jump around? Why commit to one place? It's just one gathering where we say, we're going to dig in here. We're going to serve here. We're going to love the people here. Why? So we're going to try to answer some of those questions tonight as we talk through this. But I want to start off by just telling you what church means, all right? In the Bible, in Greek, because you know I like languages, the word is ekklesia that's used to talk about church. And what that means is called out, hence the name of our series. These are people that are called out by God from the world to do something, to be set apart in some way. And the word church that we use, all right, this word comes from a Greek word, and it means of the Lord. And so we're not just people. We're not just like random people God decided to call. Like, we are people that belong to God, people that are his people. And so when we go to this thing down here, this little trough thing that we have, and you've seen students come each week and they're being baptized and dunked in the water, it's not just because we like to dunk kids and get them wet and let them do cannonballs. Like, that's not what we're doing here. What we're doing is this obedience to Jesus that says, hey, as you accept me as your Savior, I want you to follow me in obedience, to let people know what you're doing, that you're being immersed, submerged completely into me and into my church. So it's almost this kind of first step into our relationship with the church to say, hey, I belong here. I belong in this place. I'm being baptized. I'm now part of you, just like I'm part of Jesus. And so it's kind of this first step to become one of us, one of those who call themselves the church of Jesus Christ. We know that because 1 Corinthians 12:13 says, for in one spirit we were all baptized into one body. We're baptized into the body of Jesus, it says. Jews or Greeks, slave or free, and all were made to drink of one spirit. So as we are saved, we're baptized into this thing called the church, and we're unified into one, right? Now, I got to remind you, because the first time we talked in this series, we talked about this guy named Philip. You guys remember Philip? And Philip's like, hey, he's told, hey, go down. I want you to go to this desert area. He's like, what? Why would I go there? Nobody's down there. It's a desert. And God's like, go. So Philip goes down there, and he finds who down there? You remember? Who's the guy he finds? There's somebody there, a eunuch, an Ethiopian eunuch from the royal court. And he has this conversation because the dude's reading the book of Isaiah and he helps him understand it. And the guy gets saved. And then this happens. Let me just remind you what happens after you get saved. What does this guy say here? It says, then Philip opened his mouth and beginning with the scripture, he told the good news about Jesus. And they were going along the road. They came to some water and the eunuch said, see, here's water. What prevents me from being baptized? And he commanded the chariot to stop, and they both went down into the water, Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. So baptism is this thing that follows salvation. And so as you're saved, you're saying, I believe in Jesus Christ. I'm buried with him, and I'm raised again. And that brings you to this next step. Now we're in Ephesians 4. You guys there yet? Ephesians 4, verse 1. We're going to look at the church. This is that first step. This is part of the plan, and this is what the church looks like in Ephesians chapter 4. It says this, I therefore, a prisoner of the Lord, woo, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you've been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. He uses a lot of awesome words, like so many awesome words, like a buffet of awesome words right here. We could just pick one and it's going to be great because there's lots of different things that he's describing about the call of God. This plan that we've been talking about, right? This thing that God's calling us into. So when you say yes to Jesus, he's like, all right, I'm going to give you a new plan for your life. I'm not going to leave you the same. I'm going to change you. I'm going to transform you. I'm going to make you different, and I'm going to put you on a new path. And here's the new plan. And the first step after through baptism is joining in the church. And this really cool thing that takes place is you become a body part of the church of Jesus. And so look at these words. I want to just kind of peek at each one real quick. We won't spend a ton of time, but humility. Man, humility. I wonder how many of us even understand what the word humility means nowadays. And I would say that is an offense to anybody in the room. Just, it's a hard thing in our culture. We're not taught humility. We don't see it. It's not modeled for us as we look around us. Social media is designed for us to not be humble. To look at me, look at me. We're growing up in a world that is prideful. And so the word humility is the exact opposite of what we see around us in our culture. And that's the plan that Jesus has for us as his church, to be people that value others as higher than themselves. And then it says gentleness. Man, I didn't even know gentleness existed anymore. If you just look at Instagram, I mean, the way people talk to each other nowadays, or you look at the news and all people do is scream hate back and forth from 100 different sides and everybody's personal opinion, just screaming at gentleness like we see in Jesus Christ nowadays. That's the plan he has for us, to be gentle people with patience. Pastor Richard was just talking about the patience, how hard that is in our culture to just be like, I need a new pair of shoes. Boom, Amazon, click. They're on the way. They're going to show up in an hour with a drone, boop, drop in my house. I mean, we can almost have it that fast nowadays. It's hard to be patient, but that's the plan the Lord has for his church. And then it says, bearing with one another in love. You know what bearing means? Bearing with each other? You have to have been wronged to have to bear with somebody. This isn't just flowers and puppies and roses. This is like, man, you did me wrong. This isn't easy right here. Bearing with you means something happened that's going to tick me off, and I'm going to be mad at you, and you're probably going to be mad at me. But you know what we're going to do instead of just fighting? We're going to bear with each other through this. We're going to value each other in humility more than ourselves. And it will cause us to actually love each other and bear with each other through that. And it says, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. So there's this really cool thing that happens. It's not just dunking in the water. You're becoming part of a unified body of Jesus. And I wonder, like, what is it that unifies us? What is that thing that causes us all to be unified and come together? Is it we have, like, really awesome worship, and so that's what brings us? A couple times a week we come together, we love the worship that we have. But then next week we change it and we just do hymns. And then where do you go? Does that change your opinion on whether or not you come to this church or go to a different one? Or maybe the preaching changes and it's different from what you're used to. Or your Sunday school teacher gets changed with somebody else and he teaches differently and tells weird jokes. And all of a sudden it's like, ah, or you name it. Like, there's no more donuts. Oh, no. Like, what is the thing that sometimes we can make be the unifier? Because what the Lord's telling us here is that Jesus should be our unifier. So you could sing any type of worship you want. You could preach, not however you want. You could preach the word, right? But any style that you want. You can have donuts, not have donuts. It can look differently, and I'm not going to walk away from this body of people. You know why? Because I love you. Because I can bear with things. Because I'm humble and put others first. Because I'm seeking peace with you and unity with you, and it's not based on my preferences and all of these other things that we make it about today. Like, I don't like this church. There's one down there. They have some rocking music, and they got some awesome fog and really cool lights. I'm going there because you guys are boring. I'm out. That doesn't happen when you're going, I'm coming here for Jesus. And I know you people love Jesus. And I can't wait to get with you so we can tell him how great he is together. Jesus should be the thing that unites us. That will never break. That will never fail. That will never be absent if he's our unifier. So we're called together in unity because of Jesus Christ. And look what it says next. There is one body and one spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to our call. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, Father of all, who's over all and through all and in all. You know what he tells us right there? This call, what does he say the call's to? Hope. Hope. The call that God has, this plan that we've been talking about, that he changes from your old life to your new life, as we're a church, he sets us on this path toward hope. To live in that hope that he's given us, and to bring hope to people who don't have it. To bring the name of Jesus, this awesome news that there is no better news than Jesus Christ, and that he died for your sin. He rose again to give you life. We can bring that hope to the world, and we can live in that hope every day. I feel like we live in a hopeless culture right now. I mean, I don't know. Some of you I've seen, you've been like, I'm erasing my Instagram. I'm disappearing for a couple months. Awesome. I'm proud of you guys for doing that. Others have done other things like that. And it's because we look around and we're like, man, this feels like a hopeless place to be. Every time I get on Instagram, every time I get on social media, when I engage in conversations, it always comes back to this hopelessness of our country and our world and health and all these things. And we're forgetting to keep our eyes on the one place that we've been called. The new plan. This mission that God put us on. As we said, we're part of your body. And he says, here's the plan. I want you to be bearers of hope to a hopeless world. I want you to be a missionary on social media. For you to be the source of hope, for you to speak about Jesus, for you to point people's eyes to Christ. When you go to school and people are complaining about what's going on all around us, that you bring hope to those friends. I want you to be a bearer of hope that I've given you when I died for you, when I went to the cross, when I rose again. And I want you to live in that hope. I want you to live in anxiety and stress and worry. I want you to live in hope that I love you and I've called you to be mine and part of my church. Do you guys understand that God's plan for you is to be a bearer of hope? To be the difference? That you're not too young to go out and bring hope to people right now. Maybe your parents, when you go home tonight, need a little hope. Maybe they need you to go home and put your hands on them or wrap your arms around them and pray. You will blow their mind, some of you. They'll be like, what are you doing? And you just pray for them. Maybe they need some hope. Maybe your teacher sitting in your classroom who's got one of the hardest jobs in the country right now just needs you to come into class and give them some hope. Maybe your friend sitting next to you tonight needs some hope. That's the call. That's the plan. That's this awesome gift that God's put in our hands, and we're looking at it like, there's a lot of that around. But there really isn't. There really isn't. There's a lot of people in need of it. Will you live in his hope? And will you bring his hope to the people around you? That's what he's called us to do as his body. And it says, but grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gifts. You know what grace is? It's this free gift that's not deserved. It's this thing that you get and you shouldn't be getting it. Like you come up and smack me in the face and then I buy you a hamburger. It's like, what? Why did that just happen? How does that work, right? Grace doesn't make sense. It should blow your mind. This cross is a representation of that. We didn't deserve this. We spit in God's face and sinned against him and he died for us. That's grace. And each one of us has been given grace. And so sometimes we start to think like, man, I'm part of this church. I've been here a long time. I've been saved. I read the word. And it's almost this pride that wells up within us, like, I don't really need the grace that much anymore. I'm kind of getting it on pretty good, you know? And Lord's like, you sure? You sure you don't still need my grace? You don't see that pride that's welling up in your heart? You look at others and you're quick to blame. You're like, look at his sin. Look what he's doing. Look what's going on over there. But this is a reminder that each one of us has been given a measure of Christ's grace. And I need to look back at myself and go, man, you forgave me a lot. today you've been forgiving me a lot. God, I don't deserve all this forgiveness. I need your grace just like this person next to me. And you know what's cool? That we can come to a place like this and don't have to feel like we don't belong. You know, like, man, if you just knew what I did, and we're like, believe me, bro, we know. If you know what we did, you wouldn't have came. Like, you wouldn't have joined us. We're a room of sinners. But Jesus has a lot of grace. And Jesus has taken us, and he's put us on a new path. He's put hope in our hearts. And he sent us out, and he wants to do that for you, too. We've all been recipients of Jesus' grace. And so that should make us be patient with one another. Then it says, I'm going to skip down a little bit. It says, and he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers to the church. Now, like he sets this church up for us to be a part of. And then he takes these four type of people and he gifts them and puts them in there. You guys notice any of these words? Apostles, prophets, evangelists, shepherds. And that last one is shepherd teacher. It's kind of the same thing. Let me walk through this real quick. Apostles, they planted the church. These dudes are out there planning the church, getting it started. And then these prophets are guys who come along and they're not afraid to call people out for sin in a loving way, to keep the church accountable so that as the church is starting to believe false doctrine and other things and slipping into sin, these guys come along and they're able to encourage and to call out the church. And then evangelists are the guys that go out and they share the gospel of Jesus Christ. And they're telling people, so they're getting saved. And this last group, the shepherd teachers, are guys who preach the word so that everyone sitting in the church can understand it and know it and grow. And now you can go out the door and tell people the same thing you just learned. And they do life with the church, and they help them walk down the path. And every time you want to stray to the left and get off the path, the shepherd teacher's there. And he's like, come on. Get back over here, get on the path. And you're walking a little more, and then you say, oh, that's shiny, and you walk this way, and the shepherd teacher's like, come on, back on the path, man, let's go. And it's this endless job. I love it. I love it. That's what I do. That's why I'm talking about, right? When you guys are like, oh, I'm going to run this way, and Rob runs after you. He's like, get back over here. Come on, kid. No, I don't do that. I don't do that. But I would. Maybe you. Oh, but this shepherd teacher shepherds, man. And we all need that. And you know what? Even your shepherd teachers need someone to come along and go, hey, Rob, get back on the path, man. Keep your eyes on Jesus. You know why? Because every morning we wake up and we need that fresh mercy of Jesus. Every one of us. We need people in our lives to be around us. And God has been so wise and so awesome to go, I'm going to give you those people. I'm going to design the church that way so you can be surrounded by other believers that will help you do that, to help you stay on the path. They'll encourage you when you're down. They'll wrap their arms around you and love you when you're hurting. And they'll keep pointing your eyes back to Jesus. Man, this thing called the church is so beautiful. There's so many that want to tell you it's not relevant. It's old. It's no good. It's passé. We have technology and all these other things. There's nothing like getting in a room with some other believers, studying God's word and just praising Jesus together. There's nothing like hearing each other's broken hearts and being there to wrap your arms around each other when you're hurting. Nothing replaces that. And that's how God has designed our church. And he's put these people, these leaders in charge to do something. It says, to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. So first of all, you're a saint. You're like, me? Like, I ain't no saint. Did you see what I did at school today? I did, as a matter of fact. We're going to talk later. But yes, you're a saint. Saint means that you've believed in Jesus Christ and that he's transformed you. And so you belong to Jesus if you've believed in him. And so what it's saying here is that these guys come along and he equips you. These guys equip you to do the work of the ministry. And that word equip, you're like, what's equip mean? They teach you. They prepare you. They train you. They help you. Our job is to say, hey, this is how you serve these people. Hey, come on this mission trip with me so you can see what it looks like to serve in another culture. Hey, walk over and talk to that person with me and let's share the gospel with them so you can see what it looks like to tell them the greatest news ever about Jesus and you can learn. Hey, let's get in the word and study what God says about himself so you can know who he is. And as we do that, you become equipped to then do it yourself, to be leaders in this place. I'm so proud of our student leaders. Man, our dream team, you guys have been equipped. You guys have been leading out in the ministry here. You're an example of this passage right here, where you're stepping up and you're now discipling the other people around you. You're bringing other students on the stage, teaching them how to share their testimony. You're walking with other kids out to do service projects. We're doing these things because God says that our job is to equip the saints to do the work in the ministry. And look what happens when we do that. You see this next part? For building up the body of Christ. That's how we all get built up together. So we serve each other. It says, until we attain, till we all attain to the unity of the faith. All of us, together. We're in this together. Did you know that? So we're not going to leave you behind. We're going to come around you, wrap our arms around you, be like, come on, let's go. We're walking this path together. This plan he gave us is for all of us. Let's go together. It's a team effort. And it's talking about unity of the faith. That at the end of the day, when you're done talking to me, my hope is that you walk away believing more powerfully in Jesus Christ. I want you to go home and go, God, I believe in you. I trust you more now because I was just with these people. And man, you should have heard how they talked about you. You should have heard how they encouraged me about the things they've done and you've done in their lives, about your power. And God, I believe and I trust you more. And the things that I saw you do today, the way you showed up, Lord, I trust you. And tomorrow when this thing hits me and I'm going to be scared and I'm going to need some help, I'm going to be able to pray and trust that you're listening. We grow in this faith together. That's what the church does. You could trust in Jesus more and more as you become involved in the church. And it unifies us. And then it says, the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. If we have unity in the faith, right, it's because we know who Jesus is. It's not just some random faith, pick one, it's good, whatever faith you want to have, it'll work for you. It's because you know that there is a Savior named Jesus Christ who is the only way, the only truth, and the only life. There's no other way to the Father but through him, and you know that, and the knowledge of him is what brings our unity. You know what else that means? That means we can disagree. There's a whole lot of stuff we can disagree about and still stay unified because we're unified around Jesus. We can even have different theology, right? We can disagree on some theological points. We can disagree on the type of chairs we sit in. We can disagree on the style of music. Those are okay disagreements, and they won't break us. The only thing that's going to break us is when we disagree about who Jesus is, that he is the Son of God, that there is no other Savior, and he is the unifier of the church. It says, and of the knowledge of the Son of God. That's how we have the unity of the faith. And this is how far it goes. Are you ready? We're going to close with this. To mature manhood and womanhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Whoa, that's a lot of words. So what he's saying here is here's how far this is going to take you. Until you are to the measure of Jesus, like the fullness of who Jesus is. That doesn't happen overnight. That's not something that's just going to happen right now and boom, you're there. This is this process that God is working in you called sanctification. I know it's a big word, but he's making you like him. And so it's this journey that you're on with God as he's working in you, and you're going to fail and he's going to pick you up. And the people in the church are going to come around you and love you and help you stand up, and you're going to grow. And each time you grow more and more, and God is slowly chipping away at the sin and strengthening your faith so that you look more and more like him. It says, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves, carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, craftiness, and deceitful schemes. What he's saying is that this awesome thing that God is working in you is going to keep you from just getting on Instagram and hearing all this craziness and believing it. It's going to keep you from walking in a church that's preaching heresy and just blindly believing it. It's going to keep you from a constant state of confusion, wondering what's true and what's not true, because you know that you can look at God's word and find absolute truth that never changes. It's like Pastor Richard was talking about earlier. and you won't be tossed around by the waves. And when the storm comes, you'll know Jesus doesn't change. And as I'm growing in the Word, I can identify that Jesus is the one thing that I can always trust. It says, rather speaking the truth in love. So as you learn that, you know what you do? You tell people the truth. You look at your friend who's messing up and you're like, listen, I love you, but I see this doesn't match up in your life with Scripture, and I want to talk to you about it. This doesn't look like what the Bible says. How can I help you in love? And let's walk this together. And we're able to do that and not just fight and not bicker, because we have Jesus as our commonality. It says we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it's equipped. Let's stop right there. We're going to grow up to be like Jesus. This process, this plan, causes us to start to look like Jesus. So when people look at you and they really go, man, you're different, they're not noticing that you're different. They're noticing that something's totally supernatural going on and they don't get it. And it's Jesus. He's the difference that they see in you as you grow up into Him as the head. When each part, get this, don't miss this, all right? When each part is working properly, it makes the body grow, so it builds itself up in love. So I need a volunteer real quick. Some, you had your hand up, go. Come on, come on. I hope you're going to want to do this once you get up here. I need you guys, you're all volunteers too. She's going to do something. I need your help, okay? I've actually already talked to all these people earlier.
No, you didn't.
Okay? No, I did. We talked. Now, what I need you to do is you're going to run and jump and crowd surf. Can you do that? Can you pull that off for me?
Yes.
You guys ready? Logan, we talked about this. He knows. Yeah.
No.
But here's the thing. No, you can make it. Listen, here's the deal. Only one of them, and it's not Logan, only one of them is actually going to catch you, though. The rest aren't going to do it. So you just have to jump and hope you land on the right people. You still in for this?
Sure.
He wants you to do it.
Yes.
Yes. No, you're not doing it. Go sit down. Don't ruin my illustration, girl. All right. You get the point. I didn't have to go on, right? What if I told you to jump?
I would have done it.
You would have done it. Some of you guys are crazy enough, but you would not be a good example to follow, because not everyone's going to do their part. If I wonder if you're actually going to, I'm definitely not jumping you guys. I'd be like, squish, right? But if I was a little lighter and I jumped, I'd be like, I don't know if I trust all you turkeys, you know? Here's the cool thing about the church is that it's kind of the same way. You need to do your part. You need to work properly. You know that you are a vital part of this church right here. Some of you guys come and you serve. There's people, Corbin, wave at us. Look at that dude's back there. If Corbin wasn't back there right now, you wouldn't have stuff. There is nothing on the screens. You're making me look bad, bro. You wouldn't have stuff on the screens tonight. You wouldn't have the words to sing. You wouldn't see the verses up there. If Richard's like, nah, I just don't want to come. Pastor Richard didn't. We wouldn't have worship. Right? If I said, no, I don't feel like preaching, you guys just sit here. Well, you probably go play ping pong. That's probably what you do. You're like, woohoo, Rob's not here. And there are things that each of you do. And it might not be one of those type of visible things either. It might be that there was someone tonight that you're supposed to talk to, that you're supposed to love, that's in this place. There might be a visitor here tonight that God's like, I want you to be the one to walk up and make them feel welcome in this place tonight. You guys all have been called to do different things, but it's all for the same plan. It's all for the same mission. And as we do our jobs, as we work properly, you know what that does? When we love each other and serve each other and put each other first, it makes this thing grow. It gets built up. It gets healthier. That's why life groups are so important, y'all. When you can be plugged into a life group. Life group leaders, this is why this is so important. For you to love these kids, for you to hang out with these kids and disciple them, for you to pull them away and study the Word with them, for you to build relationships with these kids so they can have this, so that they can grow together. Students, this is why it's so important for you to be a part of a life group, for you to love your life group leader and engage with them when they invite you to do stuff and go out with them and say yes and stop being so difficult to rile up so we can grow together and build each other up in love. I'm super excited. Next week is Tune It Up, right? So you guys are pumped about that. But the two weeks following that, we're going to have some guys up here speaking. They're going to be teaching, and they're going to keep going in our series. And Cameron and Dom are going to be teaching, all right? So I'm super pumped. And they're going to be talking to us about studying God's Word and the importance of what God's Word does in our life. And then on discipleship, what this life group thing looks like, what being the church and discipleship looks like so we can grow together in the love of Jesus, all right? So be praying for those guys. You'll hear more about that coming up. You guys bow your heads. Let's pray, and we're going to continue in worship as we close tonight. Father, thank you for this passage. And I know we spent more time than we normally do tonight, but it's just so full of truth. Thank you that you write us instructions about who you are so we can know you, so that we know how much you love us. Thank you that you don't just sit out there distantly from us, but God, you're here. You're in this room. You hear us as we worship. Father, I pray that as we just approach this last song, that it not just be a song. God, that our hearts would be full of praise. That all those truths we just heard from your word, from Ephesians, God, that we would hear that and that those things would resound out of our hearts to you. We could sing it right back and say, God, you're good. God, you deserve the praise. Thank you for all those things you do for us every day. Thank you for gifts that we don't deserve. Thank you for a church that we could be a part of that's a gift that we take for granted. God, hear our hearts right now as we sing. Let us sing to the top of our lungs and from the bottom of our hearts and be glorified. We love you, Jesus. It's in your precious name we pray. Amen.